You have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 18 to 20. As we finish up our series, Armor On, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. And for the context, I'll read verses 13 through 20. Paul writes, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." And let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this word that you've given us over the last several months, Lord, about the armor of God. And I pray as we finish this series today and look at the weapon of prayer, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just remind us we need an attitude of prayer. We need to be crying out to you and praying to you for deliverance for ourselves and for other people. Pray, come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray to open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. I ask all this in your name. Amen. Last February the 12th in Dallas, Georgia, a 20-year-old thug named Hans Rogers started breaking into a house owned by 79-year-old Gwendolyn Agar. So she quick called 911 and grabbed her .38 and fired off a shot and said, "Come on in, I'm going to blow your brains out." Then she fired off another shot to scare the guy away. But the shots didn't scare the guy away. And Hans Rogers ran upstairs and started ransacking her bedroom. So she fired another shot through the bedroom floor. Still didn't work. But when 911 told her to stay on the line, she just started praying and crying out to God, "Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Deliver us from evil. Devil, in the name of Jesus, be gone. Devil, be gone in the name of Jesus." And then what do you know? All the noise upstairs stopped. Just like that. And when the cops got there, they found Hans Rogers hiding in that old lady's bedroom closet, shaking like a leaf. And you know why? This is what he told the police. "I wasn't afraid of that old lady shooting me because she couldn't even see me. It was all that praying and yelling about God and the devil and stuff. Just get me away from her." So folks, it wasn't that old lady's gun that scared that guy into giving up. It was that old lady's prayers. Not her weapon, but her secret weapon. The exact same secret weapon that God is calling us to use too. Amen. We're finishing up a series here this morning at Fox River. A series called Armor On. Looking how we can put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 and start fighting and winning that war that the devil's declared on us. And today we finish this series by looking at the last piece of armor, the last weapon that we're supposed to take up. And that's the weapon of prayer. And to see that, we turn this morning to Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 18 to 20. Verses 10 to 13, Paul tells us who we're fighting in the spiritual battle. And that's the devil and his demons. Verses 14 to 17, Paul tells us what we fight this spiritual battle with. And that's the whole armor of God. In our text today, verses 18 to 20, Paul tells us how we fight this spiritual battle. And that's with the weapon of prayer. Our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20, tells us three things that we need to do in order to pray against the devil and get that final victory for sure. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do in order to pray against the devil, we need to wake up. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in verse 19. Be alert and wake up. Because too many Christians today are sound asleep. And the only way you're going to know you're asleep is if you wake up. Christians, we got to wake up. National crime statistics show less than 1 out of 5 Americans have a home security system. 3 out of 4 burglars say dogs and lights don't stop them. 2 out of 3 burglaries happen during the daytime when the people are even home. And why? Because too many people are fast asleep. We've got to wake up. John chapter 10, verse 10, the worst burglar of all, the devil, comes to steal and kill and destroy because too many Christians are sleeping too. Christians, we got to wake up. We got to wake up because there is a spiritual battle going on right now for the minds and the hearts and the souls of billions and billions of people all over the world. Because 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the devil is our enemy. And John chapter 48, verse 44, he's a murderer and leads the entire world astray. And Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, he makes war against the saints. Awake yet? So the world is not a playground, it's a battleground. People, we're at war because the devil has declared war on us. And even if that battle and that war is invisible, it's definitely not fictional. And we don't have a snowball's chance in hell of ever beating the devil in that battle if we don't realize there's even a battle going on to start with. People, we've got to wake up. Last September the 9th, this cougar, this huge mountain lion, was spotted near Hudson, Illinois. Outside of Bloomington, Central Illinois, people. And the McLean County School District warned parents not to let their little kids walk to school because there's a lion on the loose out there, which evidently means they're everywhere. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We've got to wake up and be alert because there's a devil on the loose out there. And evidently his demon spirits are everywhere too. And because they know the time is short, they never take a break. There's never a truce. There's never a ceasefire. The devil didn't take off for Labor Day and the sandwich fair. 24/7, 365 people, we're at war. And we've got to realize the world is just egging on all the attacks. Disney FX now has a series out there called Little Demon, where the devil knocks up a woman and the baby, her daughter, becomes a female antichrist. People, this is a show for kids. Because you talk about normalizing the demonic. If that's not more proof that Disney's already sold its soul to the devil, I don't know what is. Joe Biden's COVID czar, Dr. Ashish Jha, said this: "This is why God gave us two arms, one for the flu shot and the other one for the COVID shot." No! God did not give you two arms as injection sites for a government Franken-drug. God gave us two arms so we would lift up those arms and praise the Lord and put our hands together and pray to Him. Revelation chapter 13, verse 5, the Antichrist will speak blasphemous things against the Lord. People, that's the spirit of Antichrist. Joe Biden appointed a man named Richard Levine as Assistant Secretary of State, and another man named Sam Britton to a big job in the Energy Department. Male cross-dressers who are pretending to be women. You talk about a national disgrace. But do you know who Joe Biden's monkeypox czar is? That guy right there. A gay, masochistic devil worshiper named Dr. Dimitri Daskalakis. There with his fake husband, mocking Christ by wearing a crown of thorns. And last year they opened a satanic gym in Manhattan called Monster Cycle. Joe Biden appointed a devil worshiper to the White House. People, there is evil coming out of Washington, D.C. This nation is being taken over by a demonic spirit that is hostile to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I will agree with Joe Biden on one thing. There really is a battle going on for the soul of this nation. But because of him, the dark side is winning. People, you don't think there's a spiritual battle going on right now with the devil? And what do we need to do about it? We need to wake up. We've got to be able to understand and spot demonic influence, like occult activity. We've got to be able to spot demonic influence in people, sudden unexplained changes in behavior and personality, violent outbursts that are totally out of the ordinary, strange obsessions. Years ago, I dealt with a 76-year-old woman, born-again Christian, who was obsessed with saying the phrase over and over again, F you, Jesus, F you, Jesus. And I know there's people here in this sermon right now, you say, Kevin, all that demonic influence you're talking about, that's just mental illness. No, because Matthew chapter 4, verse 24 in the Greek says there is definitely a difference between mental illness and demonic activity. The Bible does not say they are one and the same thing. And Christians, we do a lot of damage if we don't understand the difference. We've got to wake up and we've got to be aware because those demonic attacks can come anytime, anywhere. Years ago, I was in a house south of Aurora, Illinois. Christian family, had a 17-year-old son, born-again Christian, straight-A student, played every sport. He was a leader in fellowship of Christian athletes, no drug problems, no drinking problems, no history of mental problems whatsoever, never got in trouble a day in his life. The all-American boy came home from school one day, locked himself in his bedroom, and started screaming for 3 solid days. When I got there, he started screaming that he was going to kill everybody and then kill himself. Sudden, unexplainable changes in behavior and personality and talking about death that had demonic written all over it. Well, we finally convinced him to open the door. Mom and Dad got on his computer and found out that he was in call with some really creepy people online who were manipulating him into taking naked pictures of himself and then sending them to them so they could post them on a porn site. Bingo. So we prayed with him. We prayed over him for about an hour. Demonic spirits left, reported the website. The kid was as right as rain. So that 17-year-old kid did not have ADHD or Tourette's. He was not going schizo or bipolar. He didn't need a pill. He needed a prayer. He did not have a mental illness. He was being harassed by a demonic spirit. And I know somebody's listening to this sermon right now. You say, well, Kevin, how do you know in a person if it really is a demonic spirit or if it's mental illness? You pray. You wake up and you pray. Years ago, Sue and I had a family really close to us that agreed to host a foreign exchange student from the University of Illinois for Thanksgiving in their house. The idea was you bring the kid into your house, you show them what American culture is like, especially around the holidays. And this couple was going to use it as an opportunity to witness to that person to share the gospel. Well, it turns out that foreign exchange student was a 19-year-old girl from South Korea who barely spoke any English. And Sue and I were there that day. And we noticed that girl hardly said anything, hardly spent any time around the adults at all in that house. She spent most of her time in a back bedroom with the couple's little kids. Day was over. They took her back to the University of Illinois. But then all hell broke loose because all kinds of crazy things started happening in that house. Mom would walk in the bathroom, there'd be toothpaste squeezed out all over the place. Water faucets constantly running. Drawers open with clothes thrown all over the floor. And when Mom blamed the kids swore up and down they hadn't done it. Then 2 days later, Mom was defrosting the chicken on the kitchen counter. All of a sudden the chicken just gets up all by itself, flies across the room, and slams into the wall. Okay? Then the couple went down in the basement and saw paint spilling out of a paint can, not running down the steps, running up the stairs, defying gravity. Stevie Wonder could see it in a second. That was demon spirits. So they called the pastor and the elders of their church. They searched every square inch of that house. What was the cause of them? Couldn't find anything. Come to find out that this foreign exchange student from South Korea, that girl was not a Christian. And underneath a chair, she had written some Korean letters. And come to find out, those Korean letters were about ancestor worship and contacting the dead. Bingo. Got rid of the chair, prayed over the couple, prayed over the house. Demon spirits left, and they never came back. Christians, there is a devil out there who wants to destroy you and harass you and kill you. But there is also freedom and deliverance out there from the devil when you pray in the name of Jesus Christ. But Christians, listen to me. We will never have that freedom from the devil until we first of all wake up and realize how much we need it. The first thing we need to do in order to pray against the devil, we need to wake up. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to pray against the devil. We not only need to wake up, we also need to pray for deliverance. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in verses 18 and 19. Praying for deliverance in spiritual warfare, which means little ditty prayers like, now I lay me down to sleep, ain't going to cut it. So many Christians in America today are so busy now, they're even asking their Alexa to pray for them. You see it there in the video.
Alexa, my morning prayer.
Good morning, dear Lord. I thank you for this day. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to see and hear your creation this morning. Help me to start this day with an...
Are you kidding me? Boy, that's really going to make the devil start shaking in his boots. Verse 18 says you pray at all times with all kinds of prayers. You pray on your face, pray standing up, pray with your spouse, pray with your kids. Pray in your house. Pray in your car with your eyes open. Pray on the job. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues. Pray in Norwegian. Pray in Swahili, but just pray. Pray for deliverance from the devil. And just posting those praying hand emojis on Facebook don't count, because a like and a share doesn't equal a prayer. Christians, for crying out loud, get down on your knees, go to war, storm the gates of hell, and pray. Pray for deliverance from the devil. So let me ask you this morning, are we praying for deliverance? Listen, the devil starts busting your chops, you don't have to take it. You don't have to put up with that. Pray. James chapter 4, verse 2, you have not because you ask not. Pray, because prayer gets you into the presence of God, and prayer also accesses the power of God, and God can hit a lot harder than you can. Pray. See this woman's hands right here? These hands are registered in the spirit realm as lethal weapons. Because when she puts these hands together, the devil has a cow. Watch out, devil, those hands are loaded, and she knows how to use them. So people, fight like a Christian and pray that devil straight back to hell where he belongs. Pray. Luke chapter 10, verse 19, He has already given us the authority to trample on snakes and overcome all the power of the evil one. Pray. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. Christians, why don't we pray? One of the jobs that I had before I went to seminary was substitute teaching in high schools all over Iroquois County. And I always went prayed up, because a lot of those kids were into goth and witchcraft. And everything in the occult is all about emphasizing the left side, because it's opposite of everything that's right. So they would put black makeup around their left eye. All the fingernails on their left hand would be painted black. The right side of their head would be shaved. Left side of their head, they would have long black hair, like that guy there in the middle. And one day I was subbing at Donovan High School, and one of those goth kids left this note on my desk. Hail Lord Lucifer. Mr. Garner, we know you are a Christian, and we have put a curse on you. And Lord Lucifer will take you out, because your Jesus is a fake God and can never save you. Goodbye forever. And you know what? That didn't scare me one bit. Because Christians, we can't be cursed. Because Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ already bore every curse for us on the cross. So guess what? 35 years later, I'm still here. All those curses and spells and incantations and hocus pocus, mumbo jumbo, that's big medicine for demon spirits and all the other people in the occult, but it doesn't do diddly squat for us Christians, because the blood of Jesus Christ trumps all of that. When we pray. Are we praying? You know why the devil wakes you up so many times at 3 o'clock in the morning? Does it do a lot of Christians? He does it to me. The devil never does anything original. He just perverts whatever God does. And because Jesus died on the cross at 3 p.m. in the afternoon to save you, the devil wakes you up at 3 a.m. in the morning to attack you and harass you. In the occult, 3 a.m. is known as the devil's hour or the witcher's hour. Because occult people believe that at 3 a.m., the veil somehow between the living and the dead is the weakest and the thinnest, and they can go back and forth, blah, blah, blah. So the vast majority of all the sacrifices and the rituals and the ceremonies and the spells that are done in witchcraft and Satan are done at 3 a.m. He said, well, Kevin, what do? When the devil wakes you up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you pray and you make him go away and you go back to sleep. But see, you actually have to pray before he will actually go away. Are you praying for deliverance from the devil? Praying for deliverance also means we pray for other people. Verse 18, pray for all the saints. Christians, are we doing that? I'll pray for you. I'll be praying for you. That's something that most Christians say, but sadly enough, most Christians never follow up on and actually do. People have asked me, Kevin, how have you survived 29 years in the same church? How have you served 29 years here at Fox River? And the answer is very simple. There are people in this congregation who specifically pray for me and Sue every single day. And don't tell me it's not needed. Back in 2018, on a Monday afternoon, I was flying to get back home here. I was south of Seneca, coming up on that intersection where Johnny Run Road tees with County Road 41. And I saw from about a half a mile away there was no traffic coming. I was going to blow through that stop sign, just make a left-hand turn and keep going. I was in a hurry. Got to that intersection, nobody coming. God says, stop, stop. So I stop. And a micron of a fraction of a second later, here come a blue car from the east going about 90 miles an hour right in front of me. That had been hidden for a fraction of a micron of a second behind the frame of my windshield. If I hadn't heard the Lord tell me to stop, and if I hadn't stopped, you'd have had a new pastor in this church because I'd have been dead for sure. They'd have still been picking up my body off that road with a straw and a spoon. I came to church the very next Sunday. One of my prayer warriors came up to me and said, Kevin, did there something happen to you last Monday afternoon? Because I got this urge from the Lord to pray for you. At exactly the same time, the devil was trying to take me out. People, are we praying for each other? Are we praying for other Christians? Praying for all the saints also means you pray for the church. We need to pray for the church in America because there's all kinds of Christians today who don't think they need the church at all anymore. Well, Kevin, you don't need the church to go to church to go to heaven. No, you don't need a parachute to jump out of an airplane either. But it certainly helps. We need to pray for the church because the devil in America today is trying to divide the church in America like you would not believe. Pray for Fox River Church because the devil's trying to get a spirit of division in this congregation too. And that's nothing new. The devil's been trying to divide this church ever since it started 183 years ago. And I knew it was going to happen when we started this series on spiritual warfare. Because the devil does not like to be exposed. The devil and his demons are just like cockroaches. You shine the light on them, they scatter, and they do even more damage. Listen, if there is something that this church is having and you don't want to go to it, that's fine. There's things that this church does that I don't go to. Romans chapter 14, verse 5, each person has his own conviction from the Lord. You say, well, Kevin, what if your church has something that you don't agree with? Do you know how many things this church has done and the people that this church has done in the last 29 years that I haven't agreed with? You don't have enough time today to hear it all. But you know what? I'm still here. When I had plenty of opportunities to go do what I do in other churches and other places because God told me to stay here and fight against the devil alongside of all you wonderful people for the things that matter the most. And there's people listening to the sermon right now sitting right here in this church. I got to ask you, is that what you want to do or do you just want to fight against each other? Don't let the devil lie to you. The real battle is not in here against each other. The real battle is out there against the devil. Do we understand why we need to fight the enemy together? The picture you see on the screen is some of the strongest Kevlar body armor in the entire world. And yet a broadhead hunting arrow from a carbon bow with a 70-pound pull goes right through it. Other picture, you see an ancient short sword penetrating that same body armor. And what's the lesson? You try to fight the enemy on your own, you're dead meat. We've got to fight the enemy together. The Roman soldiers knew that. That's why the Roman legions were some of the greatest formation fighters in the entire world. So individual Roman soldiers did not go out and fight the enemy on their own. They fought together and coordinated and locked their shields together in a formation called the testudo, what they called the turtle, so that everybody in the whole group was protected from all the spears and the arrows of the enemy. From the back, from the front, from the sides, even from the top, when the enemies would rain arrows down and even shoot at them from a wall. The short video shows how the formation comes together and how it serves. And that formation was not only defensive, it was also offensive because they used it like a battering ram to knock the enemy on their keister. And Christians, what's the lesson for us? If we coordinate and like our shields and fight together like that, everybody in the whole church gets protected too. And the Lord will go before us and around us and also be our rear guard. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 17. We've got to fight the enemy together. Because what happens if a Roman soldier tried to freelance it and go it alone? The video you see on the screen shows a simulation of one Roman soldier trying to take on three enemies from Persia.
So let's start this fight here. So see, he's blocking. He's got one already. Oh. And someone came up behind him and stabbed him in the back.
He's outnumbered. And even though he's able to fight off the ones in front of him for a while, he doesn't see the enemy that sneaks up and takes him out from behind. Because even though the Romans had some of the best shields in the history of the world, even some of the best shields in the history of the world don't protect you from the back. Rome never intended for their soldiers to fight the enemy on their own. And Christians, God never intends soldiers of Jesus Christ to fight the enemy on their own either. We've got to fight the enemy together. This video goes on to show the Romans when they do that, when they do fight together and lock their shields together in a formation they called the shield wall. See it here, the Persians come up against the Romans. And no matter how many times and how hard the Persians try to attack the Romans, there is a solid shield wall here that's formed against the enemy so that they never get through when they lock their shields together. With those shields locked together and standing behind that wall, and other soldiers with their shields standing behind the ones in front to take their place with the ones in front getting knocked down, the Romans couldn't be beaten. And Christians, exactly the same thing is true for us. When we come together and coordinate and lock our shields together, the Lord becomes our shield and our wall, Psalm chapter 30, verse 5, and the devil doesn't have a prayer of beating us either. But the problem is, even with this formation, it protects you from the front, but it does not protect you from a fellow soldier who may decide to turn on you and attack you from behind. As members of the Lord's army, we fully expect to get shot at and attacked from the front. What we don't expect is to get shot at and attacked and dumped on and thrown under the bus and get stabbed in the back from behind. But I know from experience, the devil uses a lot of Christians to do that. Amen. Believers, let me ask you this morning. Do you trust that I've got your back? And can I trust that you've got mine? Because if that trust is there, and God is with us, and we lock our shields, and we got each other's back, there is no devil, no demon power in hell that can ever stop us or take us out. We've got to fight the enemy together. That movie Gladiator, the scene where Maximus and all the other gladiators are in the Colosseum and they're outnumbered by the enemy. What do they do in order to survive and overcome?
Anyone even in the army?
Yes.
I serve with you at Vindavara. You can help me. Whatever comes out of these gates, we've got a better chance of survival if we work together. Do you understand? If we stay together, we survive.
Listen to me. I don't care what the devil may try to do to your church. I don't care what kind of holy hell he may be raising to try to divide it, destroy it, or take you out. We can survive it. We can overcome it. We can conquer over it if we come together, stand together, pray together, and fight together. Because if the devil takes on one of us, he takes on all of us. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The second thing we need to do in order to pray against the devil, we need to pray for deliverance. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to pray against the devil. We not only need to wake up, we not only need to pray for deliverance, but third, we just need to hang on and keep praying and persevere. And that's exactly what Paul tells us here in verses 19 and 20. Verse 20 says, Paul was an ambassador in chains because he wrote this letter of Ephesians in Rome under house arrest for being a Christian, chained to a Roman soldier 24/7. And yet Acts chapter 28, verse 31 said, in spite of that, for 2 solid years, he preached up a storm, sharing the gospel with everybody around him and everybody who came to visit him. And you think, how in the world could Paul do that? How in the world could he still preach the gospel chained up like a January 6th detainee? Well, look in these verses what he prays for. Paul doesn't pray for a COVID shot. He doesn't pray for a quarter pounder with cheese. He doesn't pray that the Cubs will get a real coach next year. He doesn't even pray for his own freedom. Verse 20, he prays that he might preach the gospel without fear. He prays for perseverance with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Christians, let me ask you this morning. Are we praying and persevering so that we can keep sharing the gospel with people no matter what happens to us? Because I am. Because I take a lot of heat for the things that I say in sermons. But when you're taking flack, you know you're over the target. And Jesus told me a long time ago, this ain't no popularity contest. John chapter 15, verse 18, he says, all people will hate you on account of me. Tell me about it. But I got to tell you, I could not care less what anybody thinks about me. I couldn't care less. I don't lose a bit of sleep over it. And it doesn't change one thing that I have to do today or tomorrow. But I do care what people think about him and what they think about the gospel. And right now, the knock on Fox River is that Kevin Garner and this church is just all about politics. And I got to tell you this morning, that is an absolute lie. Because the issues that we deal with in this church, the issues that we deal with in sermons on Sunday morning aren't just political. They're moral and spiritual. The Bible's full of them. I have not watched one episode of Newsmax or Fox News in my entire life. I do not give one penny to the Republican National Committee. Up in front of our church, we do not have a picture of Donald Trump. We've got the cross of Jesus Christ. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. Got this letter last month. Dear Pastor Kevin, we live in Youngstown, Ohio, and 2 years ago a friend of ours told my husband and me about your sermons online and told us we should watch them. And we did start watching every Sunday, and in 2 years we haven't stopped. We hadn't been in church for 18 years because of bad experiences with pastors and 2 sons who were both drug addicts. And even though I am a Christian, my husband was never saved. But we just want you to know that after watching your live stream, my husband has prayed to receive Christ. One of our sons is saved and set free from cocaine. And the other son is watching every Sunday morning too. There are no words to thank you for your faithfulness in preaching the truth and the gospel, because what I always thought was impossible is now coming true. My whole family is coming to Christ. Thank you. Thanks to your church for their online ministry. And thanks be most of all to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. Praise God. But see, Fox River Church is just all about politics, isn't it? Last August the 28th, we baptized 12 people in the Fox River, 6 of whom got saved right up here in the front of this church during an altar call after a church service on a Sunday morning. 3 of them I led to Christ myself. But see, Fox River Church is just all about politics. Last July the 30th, we passed out free snow cones to invite parents and their kids to our vacation Bible school. And one Hispanic kid that we invited to VBS actually came and even brought his little brother with him. So for 5 straight nights, they heard about Jesus Christ and the gospel train. But see, Fox River is just about politics. Last Halloween, we set up a cross and passed out candy and gospel tracts in downtown Sheridan. And me and this guy sitting right there passed out 4 Bibles to people that night. And I don't know if anybody got saved because of what we did, but I know this, they had a lot better chance of getting saved than if we hadn't done it. But see, Fox River Church is just all about politics. Seriously? Every single Sunday morning, I give an altar call after every single sermon. Sometimes people get saved, sometimes they don't get saved. But you just keep going and you keep praying and you keep casting the net. regardless of the stupid things that people say about you, because Christians, that's exactly what God has called us to do. Romans chapter 12, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in trouble, faithful in prayer. Christians, you persevere. And listen to me, we better be persevering. Because you know those perilous times that Paul tells us are coming, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, right before the rapture comes? Well, we're in those right now. Last Monday, the DOJ issued 40 subpoenas to Republicans associated with Donald Trump, claiming they were involved in the insurrection on January the 6th. Former campaign advisor Steve Bannon was arrested. Mike Lindell was chased down by FBI agents behind a Hardee's in Mankato, Minnesota. And they confiscated his phone that he uses to run all four of his businesses with. All this less than 60 days before the start of a midterm election. One political party using lies and propaganda and federal agencies to destroy another political party. People, we've never seen anything like this in the history of this country. It's like the old Soviet Union. It's like an old Soviet reign of terror and purging your political opponents. Joseph Stalin would have been proud. And what was it all for? To demoralize you and to intimidate you and to break your will and to make you think that resistance is futile. Because if you're not toeing the line with the left and you're not drinking the blue Kool-Aid down to the very last drop, you're a MAGA supporter. You're a semi-fascist. You're a domestic terrorist. You're a threat to our democracy. So even if you donate money to a Republican candidate, they're coming after you. What do you think the new 87,000 IRS agents are for? They're going to flatten the curve of this upcoming election by flattening you and using Facebook to spy on all your private messages to shut you up and shut you down. It's even worse. 2 weeks ago, 14th Circuit Court ruled that public officials can no longer ask people to pray or call for community prayer vigils after tragedies like storms, tornadoes, earthquakes, mass shootings. Do you see what's happening? Do we see what's coming? First it was your freedom of speech, then it's your money, now it's your freedom of religion and your freedom of expression. Because there can't be any great reset, there can't be any build back better, as long as there's the United States of America and constitutional rights and Christianity standing in the way. And Christians, you can either hit the snooze alarm, roll back over and go to sleep, and just pass off all of that as politics, or you can wake up and smell the spirit of Antichrist and read the signs of the times and understand what's really going on in this country and the battle that we Christians have to fight. You want to bury your head in the sand? Go ahead. Doesn't mean that I have to. And Christians, what do we do about it? We persevere and we keep going. Because now is not the time to cave. Now is the time not to quit and give up and tap out and walk away. It's time to double down and persevere. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Pray and keep praying and don't ever quit praying. Because the devil is powerful, but he's not all powerful. And Jesus Christ already won that battle for us 2,000 years ago at the cross. And when he's finally whipped, it's only going to take one measly angel to throw that wimp into the bottomless pit. And in the end, Christians, when it's all said and done, and the last dog has been shot, and all the smoke has been cleared, and all the dust settled, we are still going to be standing. Do we have any idea how close that time really is? Last Thursday, September the 8th, Queen Elizabeth of England died at the age of 96 after more than 70 years on the throne. Sadly enough, her life and death just shows how far the British Empire has really fallen. For 200 years, that little country in the North Atlantic, no bigger than the state of Alabama, sailed the seven seas and ruled so much of the world, the saying was the sun never sets on the British Empire. And because they honored God and spread the gospel all over the world, they set standards for the entire planet. Greenwich Mean Time, absolute time. The Greenwich Meridian, absolute location. So everything else on the entire planet was measured either east or west of Greenwich, England, at 00 longitude. BTU, the British Thermal Unit, absolute temperature. 1611, the King James Bible, absolute truth. Great Britain was one of the greatest, most blessed by God empires in the history of the whole wide world. But then what started making it fall apart? During World War I, the British military was running out of gunpowder. So the first Lord of the Admiralty, Winston Churchill, asked a Jewish chemist named Chaim Weizmann and his company to produce 30,000 tons of gunpowder to help win the war. And he and his company did, and the Allies did win the war because of it. And when England asked Chaim Weizmann what he wanted as payment, he said a national homeland for the Jewish people and what was called Palestine. So in 1917, after British General Edmund Allenby took Palestine from the Turks and the Ottoman Empire, England came out with the Balfour Declaration that, in theory, gave the Jews a homeland in Israel. But the problem was England was so anti-Semitic then, they never lifted a finger to really make it happen. So right before World War II, when Jews from all over Europe wanted to emigrate to Israel, which was controlled by England, even from Germany, England wouldn't let them. And they ended up being gassed and burned in Nazi concentration camps. Then after World War II, England even sent British officers to serve in the militaries of the Muslim countries that were fighting against the Jews in Israel and trying to destroy them. And May 14, 1948, when Israel finally became a nation, England refused to even recognize them as a sovereign state. So that promise that England made to Chaim Weizmann and God's people, England never kept it. And do you think God ever forgot that? Not on your life. Because Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, he who blesses Israel will be blessed. He who curses Israel will be cursed. So after World War II, under Queen Elizabeth, England started to tank. So today, England is nothing more than a woke refugee camp for Muslim immigrants. Because England today, there are far more Muslims who go to mosque on Friday than Christians who go to church on Sunday. And last Saturday, September the 10th, Prince Charles was crowned King Charles III, even though two other English kings named Charles were horrible people. The first one was so bad he got beheaded during a rebellion. The second one was so bad he dissolved Parliament and ruled as a dictator. And Prince Charles is a globalist who serves on the board of the World Economic Forum under Klaus Schwab. And he's a man-made climate change nut. And even though he owns 14 royal estates and hundreds of thousands of acres of some of the primest real estate in the world and has a lark collection that alone is worth $10 billion, he's going to tell you what you need to do in order to sacrifice to save the planet. And he's so spiritually empty, when his son Prince William entered Eton College in 1995, Prince William, standing at the registration table, had to turn around and ask him what religion the family was. Because Prince Charles didn't even think it was important enough to tell the kid about Christianity. God save the king? You ain't just kidding. And even worse, 6 weeks ago, Prince Charles officiated at the 2022 Commonwealth Games in Birmingham, England. And the opening and closing ceremony featured a giant red mechanical bull with performers dancing around it and bowing down to it. Here's what a little bit of it looked like. Kevin, what in tarnation was that? That bull was Baal, like Baal worship right out of the Old Testament, an old pagan religion that the Bible says is going to come back in the last days. And people were seeing it right there, right in front of our very eyes. Don't tell me we're not living in the last days. And you know what happened during the closing ceremony with Prince Charles still there? Do you know what song was played over the loudspeaker in that stadium? A song by Ozzy Osbourne. And the satanic group Black Sabbath, a song called Paranoid. And the first line of the song says this: "Finish with my woman because she couldn't help me with my mind. People think that I'm insane because I'm frowning all the time." The person frowning is Prince Charles all the time. Folks, he could have sung that song himself. And the woman in that song, the woman that he finally gets rid of, is his own mother, Queen Elizabeth II. Don't tell me there's not something dark about King Charles III. And here's the kicker. 2 years ago, during a speech to the World Economic Forum, Prince Charles said this: "Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector with trillions of dollars at his disposal, far beyond global GDP and beyond even the governments of the world leaders. It offers the only real prospect of achieving fundamental transition. He is the way that we do it." And of course, Prince Charles never identified who that man is. But Revelation chapter 17 tells us who that he is. Revelation chapter 17 says the man who takes those trillions of dollars and leads a military campaign to take over the entire world is the Antichrist. And Revelation chapter 17 also says, after the rapture, during the Great Tribulation, There's 10 horns, 10 kings of 10 nations, the old revived Roman Empire. And those 10 kings will help and assist the Antichrist as he comes to power. One of those countries is England. And who is the king? The Bible doesn't say queen. The Bible says king. Who is the king of England that's helping to bring about the coming of the Antichrist? That would be the new King Charles III. See, Queen Elizabeth II would have never done that. But now, in God's timing, she's gone. So King Charles III will. People, don't tell me we're not living in the last days. Because every single thing the Bible says about the end times is now being fulfilled and fallen into place, just exactly like the Bible says, down to the smallest, minutest detail of Scripture. So what do? Mark chapter 13, verse 33, you watch and pray. Persevere, keep going, watch and pray, Christians, because your Master returneth at any moment. As we close this series today on the armor of God, two things we need to do. Number one, if you're a Christian sitting in this church right now, you're saved, would you please stand up right where we're at? We're going to pray. If you're a Christian, would you please stand? We're going to pray and we're going to put on that armor of God so that we are fit for spiritual battle in this evil day. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And as I pray this prayer, putting on the armor, visualize this in your mind, pray along with me in your heart. Lord, today I put on the belt of truth to remind myself that the foundation of every single thing that I am is truth that comes from you. And I put on that breastplate of righteousness to remind myself that I am saved and forgiven and covered by the blood of Jesus. And I put on those shoes of the gospel of peace so that I will share the gospel that brings peace with people that you lead my feet to come in contact with today. And I put on the helmet of salvation to remind myself of my relationship with you and who I am in you. And I take up that shield of faith to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the devil. And I take up the sword of the Spirit and the weapon of prayer for deliverance from every attack of the evil one. Christians, you're standing here, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Every single morning when you wake up, you need to pray that prayer. So when your feet hit the floor, you are ready to take on the devil, loaded for bear, to walk in victory. Devil, let's rock. Christians, you may be seated. Second thing we need to do this morning, there are people sitting in this church right now who are not saved. You are not a Christian. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. There is a huge war going on right now. And right now, you are losing the most critical spiritual battle of all. And that's the battle for the salvation of your soul. 2,000 years ago, God the Father, in His mercy and grace, sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to die on a cross for your sins and to pay the price for your sins. And then Jesus rose from the dead to prove it was all true. Today you need to confess your sins to God. You need to put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross is the only thing that can pay the price for your sin. You need to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior. When you do that, you will be forgiven. And when it's all said and done, God will take you to heaven when it's all over with. And you need to pray that prayer today. After the service is over, you get up out of your seat, you come to the front of this church, and you pray for salvation. Because you wait till Jesus comes back, it's too late. And listen to me, don't you dare doubt what I'm saying. Jesus made this incredible prediction ever before He went to the cross that after 3 days He would rise from the dead. And Jesus nailed that prediction. And He did. Jesus made another incredible prediction that one day He's coming back a second time to judge the earth and to take believers to heaven and send unbelievers to hell. And if Jesus nailed that first prediction, that He actually did come back from the dead, there's no way in the world He's going to miss on the second one either. If He didn't stay dead, there's no way in the world He's going to stay gone.
Jesus told His disciples of things to come. He would be persecuted, he'd be beaten and mocked. The Son of Man would die on the cross, but He wouldn't stay dead. didn't stay dead, and it won't stay gone. In the Bible we're told he surely shall come like a thief in the night, by the trumpet of God, by the King of all kings, who paid the cost, didn't stay dead, and he won't stay gone. That he didn't stay dead. And it won't stay gone. Jesus is coming to take us home. By his blood he had bought me, and his word he has taught me. And he didn't stay dead, and he won't stay gone. And he didn't stay dead, and he won't stay gone.
If you're here today and you need prayer for absolutely anything, you're being harassed by the devil, I get harassed every single day, you can pray for me. Please come up after the service is over. Altar's always open. There are people here who will pray with you. You need salvation. You need encouragement. You need freedom from something. Please come. God will do amazing things. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for today. I just thank you, Lord, for the cover that you give us through your word and that secret weapon of prayer. Just thank you for the power and your grace and your mercy that saved us and opened our eyes to the truth. Just pray, Lord, for anybody here who doesn't know you, that they'd make that decision for you today. Just thank you, Lord, for the lives you've given us. And as we see time drawing to a close and as we see this world winding up, I pray you just use us. Use us in this spiritual battle, Lord. See many, many more people brought to you. All these things we ask in your name and thank you. And now we pray as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.